Okay, we're on top over here, two lines down. Rabba Rav Zeira, Iklo Lebe Reish Galusa, they came to Reish Galusa's house. Chaz Yalu Avda, they saw an Eved, the Anach Kuzo de Maya, a pitcher of water or something. Apuma de Kumkuma. The Kumkum is the hot water thing. So he put down this kuz of cold water on top of this thing of hot water. Okay. Nizayet Rabba, a garbo. He screamed at him. He told him he's doing something wrong. Omale Reb Zeira, what's so terrible? Maishno mimecham al gabi mecham. What is it different than if you put a mecham on top of a mecham? Now, who said you could do that? We're going to have a price later at the very end of the parak that says, Manichan Mecham Agabi Mecham. So the Chur, he's asking from there. Let's hold one second, we'll see. Yeah, on top. Amalei, that's a big difference. Over there, Mecham Agabi Mecham, you put a hot water bottle on top of a hot water bottle. They're not doing anything. There, I had this kuz of hot water. I want to keep it warm on Shabbos. I put it down on another top of another thing, and that's hot water. That's a different thing. Here, you're talking about cold water and putting it down on hot water. Okay, now, the first problem is that the answer is obvious because. What are you asking Reb Zeira? Why is it different than Mecham Agabi Mecham? Who told you Mecham Agabi Mecham is Mutter? Because it is Brisa. It is Brisa. Says clearly, you can only put the Mecham Agabi Mecham, lo bishvil sheyechomu, elo bishvil sheyechomorim. It says beforeish over there. You can't put it down to heat up the water. You can only keep the heat. So what was his question? So the Rishonim say that he was not asking from that Brisa. Couldn't be. If he knew that Brisa, he wouldn't have a question. The answer is internal to the Brisa. He didn't know that Brisa. He was asking Stamaze because he saw in practice people used to put mechams on gabe mechams. He saw that was the practice, the common practice. So he asked, what's the difference? Okay, now the question is like this here. What is going on over here? He put a thing of cold water down on hot water. What's happening over here? Is this bottom thing hot enough to cook the water on top? Then what's Reb Zeira asking? What kind of ridiculous question is that? You're cooking it, but Reb Zeira taught you a lot of cook on Shabbos. It's impossible. Ella what? The bottom part is not hot enough to cook the one on top. So it's like a wrong. So what's going on over here?
It won't get to Yad.
Right. What is it? Will it get or won't it get? If it will, how could Reb Zeira thought it's muta? Got a question, is that? You cook it some Bishl on Shabbos. He knows that. That's a Mishnayos. We finished already with that. Elawat, it's not hot enough to kick it up the Yad Soled. So what's like a wrong? What do you yell at him for? The answer is we learned back there on Daf Mem Aleph. This is a mocha for that whole idea. It is hot enough to make it Yad Soledis. But he put it down only for a few seconds not to get that hot. That's what we learn for. You're not allowed to do that. And that's what it says here. You can't put something down in a place where it could become Yad Soledis, even though you're putting it down for 2 seconds. Taisa says we're afraid you'll forget it there, whatever the reasons are. But that's what's going on. That's what we learned before. And that's what's going on in this Gemara. Reb Zeira didn't know that in the Kuda. Reb Zeira thought, if I'll take it away before it gets hot, so what's wrong? He's telling him, no, that's not true. We can't put something down, like we said before, Keneged Amadura. You can put it, if the fire is here, you can put it here, if it'll never get the Yatzel lettuce. But if you put it here, it will get the Yatzel lettuce in 2 hours. You can't put it there for 2 minutes either. Okay. Now, it's an interesting day that day. Then he saw him doing something else. The poorest, the studer, stood as a shmat of some sort, or the thing you saw on the hat, some sort of material thing, kerchief, whatever. Not a kerchief, a man's thing. Terrible, good. Apume de kuba. He put it on top. A kuba is a kankan, a thing of water, let's say. Let's say spread it, cover it up, let's say, covered up a barrel of water with this, with his hat, his material. And then he put down the natlu as the ladle that you take out the water with, whatever. He had a barrel of water or wine, it's not so clear. What is it? Let's say it's water, it's simpler. He covers it up with this turban thing, let's say like a big kerchief, and he put down on top of it the ladle. Okay. Vayta Nazir Rabba. Right, the rabbi gave him over the head. You shouldn't do that. Now, what are you doing wrong over there? Let's see. Omale Reb Zeira Amai. What's the problem there? What are you worried about? Omale Hashta Chazis. You'll see. Hold on. You'll see. Hold. Lesov Chazia. Philip, time passed. Reb Zeira saw that same Eved, whoever was doing it, to Koma Atzale. It got wet, and he saw him squeezing it out from the water that was absorbed there. Okay, that's an Issa. That's Chita. That's a problem. Basically, what the rabbi was saying was, you can't put something down on a place where it might get wet because afraid you'll come to squeeze it out. Oh, my life, I had a question. Maishnomi parvanka. Parvanka, I don't know what the world that means. It's also like, do you have a word for parvanka? It's also a shmata, basically like a sheet. A rag. Oh, and the Gemara, as we'll say later, we're going to have that if you have a big barrel of water, you shouldn't cover it completely with a big rag because it's oil. It's like you're building an oil. But let's say you cover half the barrel, you leave some space, that's okay. But basically it says you're allowed to cover a barrel of water with some sort of a shmata. Forget about oil. If you leave a little space. Here he's telling me you can't put material down on top of a barrel of water because it might get wet and you'll squeeze it. But this Maishnami Pavanka, the Gemara say, lady, you can do that. You're allowed to do that. Says the Gemara is a difference. Over there, we're talking about a rig. Meaning, I don't care if it gets wet. That could be. That's what I use it for. So I'm not going to get nervous if it gets wet. Here, the guy put his hat down over there. If it gets wet, he's going to squeeze it out. Something that you don't care that will get wet. Okay, that I don't care. You're not going to come to squeeze it out because you couldn't care less. But you can't put down something, let's say a tablecloth, a table you care about, to cover up water, because then if it gets wet, you're going to squeeze it out. Oh, my husband, low carpet, but a bavanki's not marked if it gets wet. Oh, the carpet, okay. Okay. They said in the Mishnah, Muchen, you can use to be matmin when they're dry. Okay, now Muchen per se are mukta. Rashi says they were used to make levadin. Levadin is felt. They felt, you know, like pieces of material, whatever, was set aside for malachos. So it's mukts. Okay. So the question I'm going to have soon, a lot of sugyas, if something's mukts, let's say a thing like this, mukha that's set aside for malachos, you don't use it, stamazet. But if on Erev Shabbos, I designated that it's going to be my thing, so that makes it a mukts. If I designated for Shabbos use, I'm going to come to that. Certain, how much you have to how serious does your debt? You have to say I'm going to use this now forever, or is it enough just to use it without saying anything, just using it itself? Then that's the question they asked him. What's happening over here? It's muchen generally is not used. It's set aside. They made felt out of it. It's a business item. This guy obviously chose to use it not for business. He chose to use it to wrap up his pot. Does that automatically make it ois mukta? Well, no, you need yichud, like we're going to learn later. He's got to say on Friday, or think on Friday, that's it, from now on, I'm not using these mukha for business anymore. I'm setting it aside to be my insulator. That's the shayla. We're going to have a lot of talk about this within the next 3 or 4 days. Boy mine ravada ba masmi abayi, mukhin, shetoman bohen. He wasn't miyachah, but he used it for tatmon. Maul etaltalon b'shabbos. Does it become that way, smukta? Now on Shabbos, you ate your chunk, you took it off. Does it revert to being, it's mukta, you finished? Well, no, now it's gone. You used it for this. It's no more mukha, it's no more business. Omalei, v'chi mitnei she'en lo kupa shel teven, omeru mafki kupa shel mukha. You cannot necessarily assume that the guy, by using it for hatmona, is making it ois mukhin. And that's a rhetorical way of putting it. He should have been matmin the thing in tevin, right? He didn't have any tevin, so he grabbed the mukhin. That doesn't mean he's mafkin a mukhin. He's never going to sell it. He needs it for one-time use. Unless he says, he makes yichud. He says, that's it. I'm taking this out from there, and I'm now designing as my insulator. But you can't necessarily assume, from the fact that the guy used it once, could be he was short tevin, so he put it down there. It doesn't mean that right after Shabbos, they're going to put it back and sell it. So just using it doesn't make it ois mukhin. Lema Messiah, let's bring a riot to Abaye. Let's see what it says. Toimnen begizetzemer. Gizetzemer is bunches of wool straight off the animal, clumps, whatever you call it. Ubetzifetzemer. Sifetzemer is a little bit more processed. They combed it out. Ubelashoyne shalagomon. They made it into strips. They combed it out of it into strips of purple wool. Ubemuchen. Okay, that's what we're after. Ve'ein metaltlen olson. But you can't be metaltlen. I mean, they remain muktzah. L'chur, that's a kabaye. That's our question. If you use it for hatmona, does it become ois muktzah? Or does it remain muktzah? Here it says it remains muktzah. Says the Gemara, depends how you read it. You're reading the braisa, ubemuchen, you can be toimein. And after you toimein, ein metaltlen. You don't have to read it that way. You could read it with a comma. You can be toimein bemuchen, comma. And you should know that if you weren't toimein, muchen are generally muktzah. But I'm not telling you after the hatmona, if it changes. You can read the braisa that way. Imishum homo iri, that's no raya. The price could be read as follows. The Mishnah is telling you like this. You're allowed to use Mukhan Fatmona. Nochazach, you should know that generally speaking, Mukhan are Mukhtza. Now, it's not at all commenting on what its status is after the Hatmona. It's telling you two things. It's Mukhtza Fatmona, happens to be Mukhtza. Freg the Gemara. If that's so, what's the Chiddush? If you're telling me the Bryce, you read it the way we read it at first, that it's a Rayat Abaye, then the Bryce is telling me a Chiddush, that Mukhin, that a Mukhtza, the fact that I used it once for Hatmona, makes it Ois Mukhtza. Bryce is telling me a Chiddush. You're telling me that that's not what it says. All it really would make it Ois Mukhtza. All it's telling me is that Mukhin are Mukhtza. That's portrait. Mukhin are things that are used for Malachach, man. It's like a building material equivalent in a sewing of some sort. So what's a chiddush? What's the price of telling me? Ihochi my lamemo, it's a chiddush. So it must still a chiddush. Mao the same ochozi lamizga alayu. I would have thought good its business, but lamais in point of fact, you could lay down on it. So I think it has some sort of a Shabbos that you use. It wouldn't be mukta. Ikamashwa, no. It basically is a business item. It is mukta. Okay, so we remain without a raya to Abaye. Truth is, his din is true. We're saying there's no riot. It will be true. We're going to have to come back in 2 days to a more heavy discussion on this topic, but that din will remain.
So, the overriding use of something, if it's designated like a business item, then it's going to be muktzah.
Right, basically. Rav Chisda. It's a very interesting. The Blat Gemara, it's like hodgepodge. Each piece, I can get myself go to Hemshich here, is exactly. Rav Chisda Shoro, he allowed Lahadure Udra. Udra is Mukhin, Rashi says, Lebesadia Bishabbat. You know, it's this Mukhin. Again, Mukhin is like, it's material, it's wool. He stuffed his blanket. That was the stuffing of his blanket or his pillow. So it fell out. He wants to know, can I put it back? So he allowed him to do it.
What's
the problem? I don't know. Tikkumona, maybe. What was that? Tikkumona, you're making a pillow on Shabbos. Could be. I don't know. Let's see. He's got a problem. He's got a price against him. Let's see what it says. Matirin beisatzava b'Shabbos. Beisatzava will see more. Beisatzava basically is the neck hole. The pagodim then were more or less like our confis. So it was originally one. It was originally one piece. They cut up the base of tzaba to make the beggar. Then they would tie it together, let's say, with something. So you can open that up. Not the original time. You can reopen it, let's say. Matirin base of tzaba b'Shabbos. Avalo poischin, but you can't do it the first time. You know, when I have my piece of material, like cut open the neck hole, that's making a kli. That's makah bepatis. We're going to say chay v'chatis for that. But once the hole is made and they tie it together, let's say like strings, that you can open. It's a different story. You're not making anything at that point. Okay. Ve'inoisnin es hamuchin. You cannot put muchin lo letoch atkar, not into a pillow. Like kesses, different types of. One is a mattress. One's a pillow, I think. Biyontif. You certainly can't do it on a Shabbos. It says over there, he can't put Mukhan into a pillow. He was just, Rav Chisda allowed him to return it. Zog de Gemara, you have a big difference. The same difference by Beisat Tzava. When the Brisa says you can't do it, That means you're making the pillow, that this pillow, this covering, never was stuffed. So by putting in the stuffing, you're making the pillow. That's a Hesek Mepatikon Mono. He was Matim Lahadure, it was a pillow. The stuff fell out. You can put it back, that's not considered Tikkun Mono. Okay. Again. Oh, Tanya Nami Hochi. Now we have a Befeir Shabraisa that makes that chiluk. But if they fell out of the pillow, you can return them b'Shabbos and v'Einzorachloma beyond. That's the price of a favor. If you're making a pillow, you can't do it on Yontif, you certainly can't do it on Shabbos. That's the Gemara. If it fell out, like the feathers fell out of your pillow, whatever it is, you can put it back on Shabbos or on Yontif, no problem. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda. The original opening of that neck hole. Chayev Chatos. That's an Issa Dorais. Rashi learns as Makabu Patish. Issa Gindri Shoyin, it might be Korean. Must have second, whatever, but drop it for now. Rashi learns as Makabu Patish. It's a Gemara Malocha. Why? Really very simple. I mean, I have a piece. Look at your dollar canvas. Before they made that neck hole, it's nothing. It's a sheet. But by making that neck hole, you're making the beged. I mean, that's my Mishmak of Patish. You're completing the beged. Fine. By opening it up, it's quite an interesting question here. Maski Florav Kahano, Ma Bein Zu Lemegufas Chovis. Now, what this kash is not 100% clear, but we'll go with Rashi just for simplicity's sake. It's a difficult Rashi, but we'll go with it. We'll see on, later when we get to Kufa and Vov. What Rashi says is not so clear at all. The Mishnah says on Daf Kufa and Vov, Shem Gamlil, I think it is, if you have a barrel of wine, and you want to open it up for the guests, right? So he wants to make a big opening. So what he does, he takes a knife, and he slices off the top. You know, their barrels were wooden barrels, and they had on top of it a magufa, some sort of a covering, and they were like sealed shut with some sort of shmir around it. So in order to make a big wide opening, to open up the thing wide to make everybody feel like they can take as much wine as they want, he takes a knife, a big knife, and just whacks off the top. slices the top right off. What's the law here? Maybe Adam Chovesh will yayin, umat his roisha besayif. Takes a sword, it whacks off the top. In fact, the Gemara, ma ben zula gus chovesh. Why is a very innocent question? I have a barrel here, correct? And it's got this cover on it, and it's sealed. Sort of clay they probably put around it. I'm not sure what they use for the sealer. What?
I'm opening the neck.
Basically, you have a sealed thing, it's unusable. By whacking off the top, you're now making accessible, you're making a barrel that can be used to drink from. So why isn't that also Magma Patish? Interesting question. This thing is closed in a streak, the Yadalakan, it's closed. You're opening up, making it now usable as a beged. You tell me that's what do you call it? That's Magma Patish. Hold it. Good, let's get first the question. This is a barrel. But it's an unusable barrel, essentially, because it's been sealed shut. So by slicing off the top, you're opening up the neck hole. That's how the Gemara looked at it. Now the answer is, the truth is a bit obvious. Omer le'Rava, zeh chibur, v'zeh eino chibur. In other words, the piece of material is mechubur. It's complete. It's closed. It's really closed. So when you open it, it's an interesting way of saying it. When you open it, you're opening something. This barrel is not. If you had, and I could have a thing like that, if you would have a wooden barrel that was complete, never had an opening, let's say, and somehow you got the wine in there, now you did that, but, and then you whack the top off of it, that might be comparable. Because you're talking about a non-cle. It's a sealed thing. You're splitting it, so now it has an opening. That's not what's going on over here. You have a barrel. You put a top on it. The top and the barrel are not mechuba. Now, obviously they're mechuba because they're sealed shut. But that doesn't make the top and the barrel one thing. There's two things. Basically, all you're doing is in a quick way, is taking the you're taking the cap off a bottle. That's all. What? But it doesn't make it one thing. What? It's a sin, but it doesn't become unclean. It doesn't become always clean. Hashi won't be there, right? It depends if it's meant to go on and off. This cap, what do you mean sealed? Is that sealed forever? It's not sealed. It's sealed to keep the dirt out of it. Keep the. It's meant to go on and off. It's not. You're not making. You're not being bottled into the chavis. It's not part of it. It's not part of the chavis. It's like we have our bottle caps. We call them tight. Those are good and tight. They're not going anywhere. They're meant to keep it tight. They take one of those. What do you call those bottles? You know, they make to preserve the food in it. You know, they're sealed airtight.
Mason jars.
Right, and they seal them airtight with those seals. And they said you can pick all your sip for 6 months. He tell me you can't open that on Shabbos. That doesn't become part of the bottle. It's still a crap. No, it's a cap. We get back to this. This is a hard sugi. This is the whole sugi of opening cans and bottles on Shabbos. So, okay, so I don't know. I'm going to zoom in here with a quickie. We'll just say, to keep your interest open, the truth is that what's difficult with Rashi is because the way we said the Gemara was, he sliced off the top. So what it says, the top is not the barrel. But the truth is, he allows you to do more than slice off the top. He allows you to slice off the top of the barrel, not just the Magur. He's allowing you to slice mamish the top of the barrel off. So that's a simple what's going on over here. Because then it really is connected. We'll get back to it in a Kufa, but that's what Rashi says here. Rashi seems to understand that what he meant was you're slicing off the top. Now you're really doing nothing. I mean, what? I'm saying that's what the Gemara answers.
In the case where you're slicing part of the barrel.
What do you mean? You're taking off the top of the barrel.
You have an open barrel and you slice off the top 2 inches.
No, it's a sealed barrel. What?
The cover is what's sealing.
Right, okay. Yeah, okay, that's a different answer. But the Gemara's answer, Ze'eno Chivo, is not the answer to that question. Because you are taking, that's the problem. You are breaking something that's Mechub. You may have an answer. That may well be the answer. But the Gemara's answer doesn't really fit, Toys says. Rashi says, Ze'eno Chivo, the top is not attached to the barrel. That's only the answer to your question. Yeah. Because you're cutting in, let's say, an inch down on a barrel. We'll see what the answer is. The Gemara has an answer. It's not a problem. But.
Would you say, like, when they had the, they send the shirts to the laundry to sew them up, right? So if it's an old shirt, it says you're going to open it?
Yeah, that's Matirin that we had before.
Right, so is the
Matirin, we said in that rice, what we just had it? Matirin beis hatzava. Rashi says, Shederach HaKoyvson L'Koyshron. When they put in the laundry, they tied it together.
Right,
so not if they sewed it or they tied it. It sounds like there's all those
things. It's not
yeah,
new.
Right.
So when the barrel is it made with two separate pieces? Whether when they make the barrel, they cut the top?
No.
So it's two separate pieces.
Yeah, it's like our bottle caps pretty much. I mean, it's a flat piece of wood, put it down, and they put some sort of shmear around it. Okay. We will return to this on Daf Kuf Mem Vov. Okay, now the Gemara comes in with it. I don't know what the connection is. There's no connection to what we're discussing. I'm not sure. Romele Reb Yim Leb Zeri. Yes, maybe because it's Reb Zeri also. How does Gemara got here? We're going to Tyrus now for an Omud. Tnan. Shlal Shel Koivsim. Shlal Shel Koivsim means you're doing the laundry, right? Right, you don't want to lose your socks, so they tied them together. They sewed them together just to keep them in a bunch. You shouldn't get lost. Shlal means a group, a bunch. Shal shela shal mafteches, the ring with keys. V'habeged shehu tofer b'kilayim, meaning you have two pieces of wool. You sew them together with a chut of pishton. Now, all these things we're going to discuss now for the next onward. Are they considered connected or not connected? Chibalatuma, meaning, you have two pairs of socks, or 10 pairs of socks, with the shlalsal koibsim. It's sewn together to keep them together in the washing machine. Okay? To look at that now as one thing, because they're now sewn together. Nafkemina, if the tumah touches this one, they all become tumah. Now, this chibur, shlalsal koibsim takes a little bit different, but. According to many, that's not even in the gears. But Shalshal Koivsim and Begishtob Kelayim, it's a chibur that's omidly hiparit. it's opening up. It's not there for sure. I mean, the shalosh kozim, as soon as you finish the laundry, you're going to take it off. You don't mean to sew the shirts together. You're just keeping them together. Shouldn't get lost in the washing machine. Or the two wools that are sewn together, pishtun, and you're going to have to take them out. So it's going to keep it that way. So chibur, that's oymed lehiporet. Okay, now, is that considered, what do you call it? Is that considered a chibur? So the Mishnah says there an interesting thing. Chibur letumo ad sheyaschil lahatir. It's considered a chibur even after the laundry is finished. Meaning, until you do a maisa to start opening it up. You need a maisa to start, that breaks the chibur. But kol zman they're together, even though you pass the laundry, so it's after the purpose of the chibur, it's considered a chibur. Alma, shaloi b'shas melocha nami chibur. That says, because, and let's take the laundry thing. Shas melocha there would be while you're doing the laundry. It doesn't say that. It says even afterwards, until you actually start opening up that stitch, it's considered a chibur. Very minimal. Makel, she'osa bo yad l'kordim. You took a stick, not the real stick. It's a stick you're going to throw away. And you used it as your handle for the shovel, I guess. But you didn't put it. It's not the wooden handle that goes in and screws it. You needed something to. You had a piece of wood around and you used it to be the handle for your kordim, your axe, whatever. Chibur letumah b'shas melocha. When you're using that, how did I touch kordim? Axe or shovel? It's an axe. Oh yeah. So when you're using the axe, yeah. So it's a chibur. Shaloi b'shas melocha. I'm sorry. B'shas melocha. Mashma b'shas melocha. Ain't shalom b'shas melocha. Meaning, if I'm not chopping my tree right now, it's not called a chibur. Meaning, if I'll touch, say, sheretz will touch that wooden handle, it's not going to become tummy. First of all, it should take legs. It doesn't become tummy altogether. But once you look at it as a handle of the axe, that's a yad. The yad does give you kaptum, but that's only when you're using it. So, but Yishlal shal kovsim, and the maftechas, and there seems to say that chibur is considered a chibur till you do something to start separating it. Here by the makel, you're telling me it's only a chibur bishas melacha. So the Gemara amalei hosom shelo bishas melacha adam osi lezorkel abeino eitzim. It has bechlal no value, that thing. So soon, its only thing is that was its temporary use as a handle. As soon as I finish, I'm going to throw in the garbage, basically. So once the melacha is done, it's meaningless. It's just it's not considered anything. Hocha by the shlal shel kovsim. I sew the begotim together because I want to launder them. After the laundry is true. But the truth is, even after the laundry, you can't say it's nothing, the chibur, because if the stuff will get dirty, I'm going to put it right back in the laundry. It's less value to me, the chibur. It's not non-existent when I finish the laundry. I'm also pleased with that chibur. Why? Until I take it apart. Dimitanfu, they get dirty, he'll put it right back into the laundry, into the washing machine. In other words, the way the Maram puts it, by shlal shel kovsim, until you start undoing it, it's basically, it's still called b'shas melacha. Because until I start undoing it, I want them together. Tell me to get dirty again. I'll put them right back in. It'll save me the effort. Okay. Now, we're going to see, the truth is, this chibur really is only a chibur midarabona. It's midaraisa, really not mechubur, because they have nothing to do with each other. I mean, the two pairs of socks that are sewn together have nothing to. It's not like they're working in tandem. It's a convenience operation over here. They're not working in tandem. It's not like we had before, like Muchni, your kash will come to in a minute, the wheel and the thing. They're working in tandem. When they're working, they're one thing. So this is only Chibur de Rabbonon. You'll see in a second. And it has its limitations. Okay, now, let's continue 1 second. Now, Besura, Masla Lahoshmaisa, the following thing, Mishmeda Chizda. I said over the following, what we're going to say soon in the name of Chizda. The Pumpadisa Masla Mishmeda Rav Kahana, the name of Kahana, Vamla Mishmeda Rov. Now, what did they say? Mantana ho milsa, the Omer Rabbonon, Kolam Chubalo Hareo Kamo. Who just said this Mishnah here in Uktsin? That the fact that they're put together, even though they don't work together, they're going to stay together, that's a chibur. Who said such a thing? Reb Yudah Marav, Reb Meir. This is Reb Meir. We'll see. Reb Meir has more chibur than others. We'll see. He's going to show you a case where there's a chibur even though they're separate things and they're not working together in that sense. It's not like parts in a machine, a wheel on a wig and something like that. Or we'll have later the two blades on a scissor. That's a real chibur there, because that's how the kli works. You know what I'm saying? So let's see this case. This not Mishnah Kehilah. Beis HaPach, what's going on here is you have a kira. You remember our good old friend the kira over there? It's again, basically it's a simple kecheres. That's all the kira is. We're talking here about a kira that can be kabbled tuma, meaning it's metalt. It hasn't been, some of them they made attached to the ground. And they put on a base of cement, and that's the end of that. That's not a kabbled tuma, it's a chuba. We're talking about a kira you can pick up, and it's basically a big kecheres pot like this, an upside down pot like this, and carry it with you. So you have it. Now, on the outside of the klicheres kira, they made little klichereses on the outside wall. Supposed to be convenience. One of them held the jar of shemen. You need shemen to do your cooking. One of them held your spices. One of them held the light to see what's going on over there. So what they really are, here's your wall of your thing. Here's your wall of your klicheres. Here's your cooking in here. And this. Outside they make little klichereses attached to it, separate klichereses. Another like a little pocket here of cheres. Pocket here, you put your things in there. Same question. Now again, they happen to be attached, but they have nothing more to do with each other. They don't work together. They make a pach, and I'm going to help you to keep it. Is that a chibur or not? Meaning, if this piece, let's say the sheretz touches this, does the whole kibur become tamei? Well, fakir. The sheretz touches the kibur. I'm going to say they're separate pieces. Beis HaPach, that's where you put the shemen. Beis HaTavim, the spices. Beis HaNeir, you have a space for Neir. The person who's cooking needs light to see what's going on. Shebakira, says the most interesting thing. Mitamin b'mago, mitamin b'aver divrei Meir. It's not a strange statement. Klicheres, we know, can become kamei in two ways. If you touch it inside, klicheres has to be inside. So the sheretz can fall in and touch the inside of the kli. So he says that it's metami b'magah, meaning what? If the sheretz will touch the inside of the kiro, these little things become tomei. Or fakir, if the sheretz will touch the side, inside side walls or the inside floor of this Beis HaPach, the entire kiro becomes tomei. What?
I thought it had to be inside.
That's called one kli. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's one kli, so it's inside. This is all one kli. But if the sheretz doesn't touch it, that's another din klicheres. It's interesting, chiddush in klicheres. Klicheres has harder to become tamei, and it has the easiest way to become tamei. Nothing else has, obvious. So if you have a klicheres like this, and the sheretz is here in the airspace, and anywhere else it's not tamei. In klicheres it's tamei. Says a Meir, most interesting split. On one hand, he's saying this is all one kli. So if the sheretz touches the Beis HaPach, the entire kira becomes tomei. If the sheretz touches the kira, all these little zachim become tomei. But that's only if the sheretz touches it. If the sheretz goes into the avir of the kira is tomei, but the Beis HaPach is not. If the sheretz goes into the avir of the Beis HaPach, then the Beis HaPach is tomei and not the rest. It's not an enigmatic statement. I mean, is it a chibur or not? But at least he says basically there's some sort of chibur here, that at least like Avitumas Mago, we consider this one big thing. We'll see in a minute what that split means. Reb Shimon Mitai. Not from the outside, the inside. The sheretz goes inside. It's inside the kira. I want to know if these little things are tummy. No. Once the thing goes in, thing the entire kli is tummy. That's all my tumah d'abon and mashki. In real tumah, once the sheretz goes into the kli, the entire kli becomes tummy. The outside too. It can't get tumah when it touches it on the outside. But once it goes inside, the entire kli is tummy. You're talking about Tumas Rabbanan Mashkin and Chagigah. This is a real Tumah. You're talking about sheretz over here. So Reb Meir says, Reb Shimon says, these are two separate kelim. What's Lusta for me? What does one have to do with the other? Reb Meir says they're one. They're all right if the sheretz touches it. So we are now saying that we said before, that Shlal Shal Kovsim is a chibur, that's only in Reb Meir. Because Reb Meir has this idea of chibur when they're not working in tandem. I have nothing to do with each other. I have to be stuck together. Okay, now meantime, we got to figure out what the world Reb Meir say over here. So the more bishlam or Reb Shimon, I understand. Kosova lav kikira domu. Reb Shimon says those little kelim on the outside are not considered one with the kira. Very good. So this becomes tummy. This doesn't. If this does, this doesn't. Never the twain shall meet. What did Meir say over here? If it touches A, B becomes tummy. But if it goes into the avir of A, B doesn't go. Is it one kli or is it not one kli? Elor Meir ika kira domu. If you tell me those little things are a kira, meaning it's a chibur. I feel about anamilid. What's the difference? You tell me it's one big kli. So if the sheretz goes into the average, you're metami the gan tzazach. Ilav kiki redomi holds it's not one. I feel about magad namilon litmo. What's going on over here? Zog the Gemara as follows. Lioilom lav kiki redom. Even Reb Meir holds it's really not a chibur. Midoraiso. Rabbananu de gozru bohu. This is a chibur de rabban. This we had earlier in Shabbos. We had it in Nida. Many times, when they made a Tuma de Rabbonon, they made it in a funny way. They made it in a way it should be Nikir. It's not really Tomei. Because we don't want you burning Kodshim or Trum on that Tuma. Meaning, let's say the Sheretz touched that Beis HaPach. So now you tell me the Kira is Tomei too. That Tuma, the Kira, is only Midrabbonon. Because the real Midaraisa, they're not one piece. Now, a piece of Truma will go into that Kira. It becomes Tomei. You can't burn it. Because it's only Tomei Midrabbonon. So if they would make an out and out tumor, it wouldn't be obvious to everybody that it was a tumor Midrabbonon. So they made like a loophole in the tumor. Here is the biggest loophole. That if it's an avir, it doesn't come across. Obviously, it's a floni tumor. It can't be a real tumor. Everybody will realize that. Because it's only working by maganapa avir. What kind of split? That makes sense. It's an impossible split. It's not an impossible split. It's just there to keep you aware that it's not a real tumor here. It's only tumor Midrabbonon. Many times the Gemara will do that. Oh, Rabbanu de Gozu, we Gozu, wa filu ba'avir nami litmu, someone shoch, if they made it midrabon, and so vayta let it be ba'avir too, of the burabon and hekeira, ki heichad al osi le misrif al etrumu v'kodshu. Now, there is a shtickle problem here. I told you that shlal shal koivsim is also a tumad rabon. It's also a tumad rabon. What's the loophole over there? They don't have avir. You don't have a loophole for avir over there. What's the loophole? What they do over there that you should realize, and you're comparing them. The Gemara says shlal is remeya from the Tana. So if this type of tumor has to have a built-in loophole, shlal shel kovsim should also have a built-in loophole. And the truth is there is a loophole there because, as we're coming to now, when we say over in the Mishnah, it's a chibur l'tumah, the Mishnah, the Brayz, whatever, the Mishnah Poris says it's a chibur l'tumah, but loy l'hazor. In other words, when something became tumah tumas mes, to get out of tumas mes, what do you have to do? Spring l'parah dumah. So now, what I'm telling you, let's take the shalosh l'koyfsim. You have three shirts there sewn together. The sheretz touches shirt number one. I tell you, all three shirts are tumah. Midrabono. Now, what's my loophole? What's there to remind me it's not a real tumah? Because now, if it was really one, let's say it was really one, when I come to be mitar and I spritz with paraduma, you don't have to soak the whole thing. The hazu has to go on the kli. So if I would, let's say I would hit shirt number one, all three would become tar. That's not true here. It's ain't a chibal hazu. By the hazu, you're going to have to, if they all became tar, maybe whatever happened over there, you're going to have to hit each one separately. So there's your loophole. There you see clearly that it's not really a chibur. If it's really be a chibur, what do you take a kli that became tar, you don't have to put it in a bathtub of hazu. You got to spritz it. That's it. As long as the water hits the kli. So that's the built-in thing. Now, by kli cheres, you'll never have hazor. Then becomes avatuma, then becomes that kind of tumor. So they had to build it this way. Okay, good. Now, what do you want to ask?
I'm going
to
finish. If you have a kli...
Yeah.
If you have a kli cheres, and the sheretz goes, touches it, and it becomes tumor.
Touches it inside.
Inside, comes tumor. And if that kli cheres touches another kli cheres, does that...
No.
Okay.
Because a kli can only be makabel tumor from an avatumor. That kli cheres is now a rishon. You can't make odom. It can make oichon tumor. You can't make that stuff. Not do kli cheres. Anything like that. Tana rabbonon. Okay. Now we're coming to a higher madrega of chibur. This is not just a convenience put together. This is the machine works. It's a machine with parts, a scissors. I mean, this scissors were basically with two blades that were put together. That's a different chibur than shalosh l'koyfsim already. They're working in tandem. That's a real chibur. This is going to be a chibur of the rice already. Tana rabbonon, mispoyre shel prokim, a scissor that comes apart. Izemel shel rehitni. That's a plane. And they would put the blade into, again, a wooden handle. That's how they worked. Everything about that, that's how it worked. The blade, you couldn't hold. So there was some sort of thing that fit into this wooden thing. But that's the kli, Yechmein. But it would go in and go out. When they weren't using it, they would take the blade out, I guess, to keep it covered, whatever it is. Or the scissors, he might take apart. So is that a chibur? Now, let's see. In Mispire shall prokem vizemel shall rehitni. Chibur l'tumo ve'in chibur l'hazor. That same split. Again. And now we ask the Gemara asks now the logical question. How can it be? Order. If it's one, it's one for hazor. If it's not one, it's not one for tumo. Now, points out Tyson, what kind of thing is that? You just told me on top of the yom with no problem with shlal shel koyv, so many drabonot. That's because it's drabonot. The Gemara understood that that was drabonot, so you can make those funny splits. This is a real chibur because they're talking working in tandem. That, it doesn't make sense. If it's mechubim and atayra, then I don't understand how can you split a thing like that. That's impossible. Yeah, but if they are, so then they're not mechubim. How do you say it's mechubim for tumah not fazor midaraisa? That can't be. You want to tell me because you take it apart, it's not a chibur? It's not a chibur. But you're telling me that when it is together, it is a chibur. So then it's a chibur. Mon efshoch. Ve'in chibur lazor. Mon efshoch. I chibur hu. And it is a daraisa. Afil lazor nami. I lav chibur afil tumah nami. This split can't be in a real thing. It can only be in a drabono. Oh, zok tazay. Loi. Omar rovo. Dvar toira, what's really going on here is that it's a chibur. But it's only a chibur b'shas meloch. When the thing is being used, it's a chibur. V'atav b'shas meloch a chibur bein l'tumah bein l'azo. That's a complete chibur. Shaloi b'shas meloch ein a chibur loy l'tumah v'loy l'azo. It's not a chibur at all. So what the Mishnah mean that it's a chibur for tumah not hazo? That's a derabonon. This midoraisa when you base the meloch, it's a chibur for both. Shaloi b'shas meloch, it's not a chibur for anything. They made a chumer d'abonon. Gozer abonon al tumah shaloi b'shas meloch, mishum tumah shabishas meloch. They made a tumah on shaloi b'shas meloch. In other words, it touched one blade when it's not b'shas meloch. He put it away in the drawer, the barber. Right? So now if it touches one blade, the sheriff's the other blade, really shouldn't be tummy. But if when he's cutting the guy's hair, it would be tummy. So mid'abonon, they said it should be tummy there too. B'shas meloch. Now, what's shaloi b'shas meloch? Shaloi b'shas melocha, the halazor. So I'm sorry. Now what's with hazor? Hazor the same thing. B'shas melocha, hazor should work one for the other. Well, hazor she b'shas melocha, mishum hazor shaloi b'shas melocha. They said hazor b'shas melocha doesn't work, just like it doesn't work shaloi b'shas melocha. So now at the end of the day, it's a chibur l'tumah both b'shas melocha and shaloi b'shas melocha, and it's not a chibur l'hazor both. Now, Reb Don, this was your kasha the other day, which in your great humility, you didn't want to tell me you knew the braisa, but that was a good kasha. We said before that the muchni, if you remember, the wheel on that wagon is not a chibur l'tumah, even when it's on the wagon. That's strange. Because from here you see that in a thing made out of parts, really that are working in tandem, like the scissors, which is the same thing as a wheel on a wagon, when it's in use, even though it could come off later, when it's in use, it is a chibur l'tumah. There we said, when the wheel's on the wagon, even b'shas you're rolling the wagon, it's not a chibur. That's what they say. D'var Torah b'shas melocha chibur teima, ma'ishno mi'muchni. The Muchni said, "Don't nit asay." Muchni, tell me, because it could come off. It's not a chibur, even when it's on the wagon. What's it different than the scissors that could come off? But you're telling me that when it's working in tandem, when the unit is a unit of melacha, it is a mechubim and a teira. And so it's yesh lechalik, one of those. Sarach lechalik. We don't know what his answer.